come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
In Matthew 24:15, Jesus said to his disciples, "The day is coming when you will see what Daniel the prophet spoke about. Whoever reads, let him understand." The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled Daniel, A Man of Purpose, Prayer, and Prophecy, a teaching through the historical and prophetic book of Daniel. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/women's ministry.
Okay, are we ready? You're right. Okay, so we're going to start off this time with our Daniel song. Ready? Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. Dare to be a Christian, dare to make it known. Let's do. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. Dare to be a Christian, dare to make it known. Okay. All right. So this time on the cover of our workbook, something was said about Daniel, and that's what we're going to sing about. It's not the verse, because we did that verse, but it's what was said about Daniel, okay? What was Daniel? Daniel was a man of purpose, prayer, and prophecy. Daniel was a man of purpose, prayer, and prophecy. There you got it. Okay, here we go, all right? Daniel was a man of purpose, prayer, and prophecy. Daniel was a man of purpose, prayer, and prophecy. One more time, okay? Daniel was a man of purpose, prayer, and prophecy. Daniel was a man of purpose, prayer, and prophecy. Woo-hoo!
I was looking at your graphic. And I never noticed a stone which represents the coming kingdom. And I'm thinking about that guy's going to have some very sore Achilles tendons when that thing hits him. But it really spoke to me about the kingdom we're all waiting for, the kingdom that's coming. And I think it's so important this time, this season that we're in. Every couple of years, we're in this season, and we're tense about this season, and who's going to get elected, and who's going to get booted. And it's so important to remember to keep our eyes on the coming kingdom, because the king is coming. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you." And one of those elements of that new place that he said he's made for us, along with the new heaven and the new earth, is, and the new us, take a good look at one another now, because you won't look like this in heaven. Anybody happy about that? That there's going to be some changes. But there's going to be a new Jerusalem, a new perfect city. And we won't go through elections and midterm elections, because the king will be king forever. Amen. And I said this to the ladies this morning, that heaven is so much more appealing to me all the time. In addition to all that it has to do with Jesus and all that he's made and the mysterious stuff that is described in ways that don't really make sense to us. I have so many friends that live there now. Don't you? How many of you have close family that are living there now? On the count of three, go ahead and say their names out loud, the ones that are your family members that you know are in heaven. Ready? Uno, dos, tres. Rita, Vince, and Kevin. And this song kind of describes, I think, what they're seeing now. I ran across a verse, and I can't remember the location of it, but I think it might have been in the Psalms that I was going through month after month for a year. But it said something about that heavenly city, that new city, and it leads me to believe that the new Jerusalem is already in existence. And those who have gone before us are already there. They're living there. Isn't that exciting that they're in a... This is not working. But think about this. This is going to describe maybe some of what they're seeing, what they're experiencing now. Get your eyes off the prize. It's coming. It's coming. Thank you for my sisters, and I thank you, Father, for their attentiveness to your word. And through this season, Lord, this has been a tough study, but it's so full of promise and so full of beauty, Lord, and victory. And Father, I pray that we all would be able to stand bravely like a Daniel at whatever the world throws at us, Father, and whoever happens to be in an office of authority, whoever happens to win any election, you're still the king, and you're the king forever. So, Father, I pray you'd bless the discussions tonight and the study and the review, and just fill my sister's hearts with hope, Lord God, like never before. May it just overflow in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Amen. Love you all. God bless you.
I just came in today, and I am rapture ready. As soon as this is, you know what, we finish this study, I am rapture ready. I know what God has planned for us. I know what's before us, and I am ready to go. Now, how about the rest of you as well? Yes, I think we all are. And I don't know about the rest of you, but today and last night, the spiritual warfare that was going on was just so strong. Is anybody else in? I know the women from the morning are very different in what they're going through than you guys that are here in the evening. Any spiritual warfare that you guys went through during this last few days, particularly this last few days? And this morning it was just like, oh my goodness, what is going on? So when we were in the prayer time before we came in here, we just really had a great time of prayer in there, and we were praying, and we just let the devil know that he has no place in our lives, and we won't stand for it. You can't have that person. You can't have that thing. You have no place here. And so we stood against the enemy because we've learned some things from Daniel, who was a man of purpose, a man of prayer, and a man of prophecy. Because he was a man of purpose and a man of prayer, he became a man of prophecy. So with this morning, as we were praying, though, also, the scripture that we were given was, I'll give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Because there had been just such a heaviness that was going on, and you could just kind of feel it coming on. And so we won't stand for it. We will all stand together, and we won't stand for the enemy being such a punk. So we're going to stand together against him. So Bill offered to do that song, and I was so thankful that he did. I'm so thankful for the gifting that God has given my husband, and you know what, he's not a lucky man, but he is a blessed man, and I am not a lucky woman, I am a blessed woman to be a part of what God's doing through Refuge and through us. And so I just wanted to make that clear, since we said we were lucky to have each other. But anyway, moving right along, so I jumped at the chance to have him. So have you been challenged to dare to be a Daniel? Would we dare to be a Daniel? Would we even dare to be a Daniel? Would we dare to stand alone when no one else will stand? In Daniel's case, he knelt alone. In Daniel's case, he was the one who lived through and every day of his life. You know, and it's in the last part of my notes, but I want to touch on it right now. This story of Daniel covers a few instances in Daniel's life. He had everyday life for over 100 years. He did mundane things every day. But those mundane things, with prayer and with his commitment to the Lord, made him the man that he was, so that when the opportunity came up for him to do something for the Lord, he was able to do that for the Lord. So I don't know about you, but I had a few questions as I got through Daniel, but we're just going to go over a few things here in Daniel and see where God will take us tonight. I had all kinds of notes that I put together, and it seems that God goes the other direction most of the time. And so in chapter 1 of Daniel, we see Daniel in the very beginning. He was a man who had purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. So we have him not eating of the king's food, not eating of the things that are of royalty, but eating the things that God told him to eat, being obedient to the Lord from the very beginning of the time that he got into that area. We find him refusing the king's thing and only walking in the things that God has. In chapter 2, we have the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, and we have Daniel being the only one who can explain it for him. And we have Daniel saying in chapter 21, or verse 21 of chapter 2, that blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and he raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. God knows what's in the darkness. Sometimes we don't even know what's in the darkness. We don't know what's ahead of us. We don't know what's in that darkness, but God knows what's in that darkness. And God has prepared us to be able to stand with him and walk through those dark times. He reveals deep and secret things, and we've talked about that before. J. Vernon McGee, who says that secret sins on earth are open scandal in heaven. So, and that's exactly what it is. So in this time, he reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, in the darkest, deepest parts of our lives. God knows what's there. There's nothing that's hidden from him. Nothing that's hidden from him. And sometimes those things are even hidden from us, aren't they? And all of a sudden we go, oh, I didn't know I did that. Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe that's in me. Something happens and we realize that little bit of darkness is in us, and we go, nope, not doing it anymore. We go, devil, you have no place here. No, mm-mm. Moving right forward and letting the light of God shine in. So in chapter 2, there is the explanation of the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. In chapter 3, we have Nebuchadnezzar building the image of gold. And what happens at that image of gold? In chapter 3, we have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saying, no, not doing it. Not doing what you're asking us to do. And it goes down into verse 16 of chapter 3, and they said, we have no need to answer you in this matter. So we don't even need to answer you in this. We already have made up our minds. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, but they go on to say, he will deliver us from your hand. He's able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, but he will deliver us from your hand. And they knew that because of the way that they had lived their lives of commitment to the Lord. And they said, but if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. We will not do it. And what happened? They got put into the fiery furnace. And what happened after they prayed and got put into the fiery furnace? We find them there in what I see as a dome that they were under. They didn't even smell like smoke when they went in. As they looked in, they could see them dancing around in there. Four of them at the time, four of them dancing around. And we know that on this one, it's a pre-incarnate Jesus that would be there in the fiery furnace with them. They were dancing around. They were in the presence of God that entire time. So they didn't even smell of the world. When we have been in the presence of the Lord, no matter what's going on around us, we don't smell like the world. We look and smell like Jesus. We look and smell like the Lord. And then we go on to chapter 4, and in chapter 4, we have the situation with Nebuchadnezzar being told that you're going to go crazy, and you're going to eat grass, and you're going to live like an animal. And Daniel tells him that. And at the end of chapter 4, we are reminded that, but before that, Nebuchadnezzar had the opportunity for repentance, and he refused it because of his pride. His pride got him in trouble. He would not repent. And because he wouldn't repent, he got into the place where he was taken over by this spirit, so to speak. And he was in a place what was exactly like Daniel had told him in the dream. And he comes to the place of repentance, finally. And in that place of repentance, in verse 34, it says, I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? And at that same time when he repented, his mind came back to him. He was made whole again. God sometimes has to take us to some pretty rough places to get us to a place where we are just willing to repent. And hopefully none of us have to go to that extent. In chapter 5, Belshazzar, who was... that it was the writing on the wall in chapter 5 that came up, and Belshazzar was taken by it. The writing that Daniel said that only he could read, he says, you have been weighed in the balances and you have been found wanting, and it's your kingdom's going to be divided, your life is going to be required of you. And that very night, his life was required of him, and God took his life that very night. In chapter 6, we have Daniel in a place with Darius, where Darius makes a thing about not praying to anyone else but himself. And in verse 10, we see the first thing that Daniel does. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since his early days, since he purposed in his heart that he would walk with God. He was in that place and doing exactly what he had done all throughout the year. So what did that answer to prayer? What did praying get for him? Into the lion's den. Well, wait a minute, I prayed. How come I'm suffering? Well, he went into the lion's den, but what happened in the lion's den was, once again, he spent the night basking in the glory of God. That whole night, the light of the glory of God was right there in with the lions, and so he wasn't bothered by them. He was able to say to the king in the morning, I'm fine. I'm fine. Everything's good here. Come on. Come on in. No, he didn't say that. But he was delivered from that situation because he was a man of purpose, because he was a man of prayer. And in chapter 7, we have all those things that were about to happen again. Daniel had a dream and visions in his head while on his bed, and then he wrote down the dream telling the main facts, and he was telling about the coming of the Lord and the coming of the breaking down of the nations and all of the things that were about to come. And then in chapter 8, we have the next thing that happened, and it began to write in chapter 8, was the beginning of writing in Hebrew, and it was spoken to the Jews at that time, and it was spoke of the latter times and the things that would come in the latter times. Now, in chapter 9, I want to pay close attention to the first part of chapter 9, because the first part of chapter 9 is a prayer that Daniel prayed. Now, I was speaking to someone who said they were teaching, they were on chapter 9, and they were going to be teaching that particular night. And this person said to me, but I'm not going to touch on the prayer. I'm not going to touch on the prayer. I'm only going to teach the other part of chapter 9. My heart is, the most important thing of chapter 9 is the prayer. That's the most important thing in our lives, is the prayer. The other stuff comes out of that. The understanding of that comes out of that. So in his prayer, we see that Daniel is saying, we have sinned. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled. It goes on down. We have sinned against you. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws. We have sinned against him. And he spoke against us, and we get the judgment for it. We have not made our prayer before the Lord our God that we might turn from our iniquities. And we have not obeyed his voice. Because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those around us. Now, therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant. And it goes on to say, your eyes see our desolations and the city which is called by your name, for we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. And this is the scripture, this is the particular verse that stands out to me in chapter 9. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen. And that's verse 19 of chapter 9. And act. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen. And O Lord, will you act on what has been requested of you? And when he was done praying and confessing his sin for the people of Israel, so will we do that? Will we stand in the gap for the Americans? Will we stand in the gap? Will we say, Father, will you forgive us? Will you cleanse us? Will you forgive us of our sins? We have sinned. We are a group who have sinned. Will we stand in the gap for the rest of the people? And then in chapter 10, we had the waiting on an answer to prayer over 21 days time. As they waited to have their prayer answered. In chapter 10, we have that promise of answered prayer. In verse 12, it says, the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come. From the first day that you prayed, have you been praying more than one day for a particular person? I think all of us have. We have at least one person in our lives that we've been praying for more than one day. The angel told him, on the day that you prayed it, the moment you prayed it, the answer was on its way. God answered it at that time. I just had to get it to you. But it took 21 days. What was Daniel doing during that time? He was fasting. He was committing himself to prayer. He was denying himself of certain things so that he could focus in on what needed to be prayed for. Oh, that God would put on my heart those times when I should fast and pray and deny myself. If I will deny myself on someone else's behalf, I know that God will answer that prayer. I know that when I pray, I know that when you pray, God hears you, he answers you that very moment, and we don't get our answer right away. We continue to press on until we get the answer. Don't give up. Don't give up. God is not going to give up on you. He's not going to give up on me, although sometimes I wonder if he should. He's not going to give up on any of us. Because God is good. God is always good. He hears our prayers and he wants what is best for us. And sometimes we just need to do without to be able to hear the voice of the Lord. Sometimes we just need to do without. And so then we see what happens in verse chapter 10. And then in chapter 11 is the interpretation of the dream, or what he was seeing, and the angel would tell him all of that, and then in and what was going to happen in the end times. And then in chapter 12, the verse that stood out to me in chapter 12 was the very last verse, verse 13. But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. What he was promising to Daniel was eternal life. I'm going to give you eternal life. It's going to appear like you are dead, but you will have eternal life. You will rise again. You'll have that resurrection in your life. And so as we just looked over all of these things, and we see that Daniel is that man of purpose and the man of prayer and all, I don't know if you have found any things that you had situations in. Did you have a difficult chapter? What was your difficult chapter? 11. Everybody's saying 11. Oh, only 11, huh? Wow. You know what? Do you have any questions? So does somebody have a question? You want to ask a question? Oh, you guys are too smart for me. All your questions have been answered. I have a question. I don't know in chapter 12 about those numbers. I want to know about those numbers. I do know that in 1,260 days from the time that the abomination of desolation happens, when the Antichrist sits down on that seat, that is supposed to be the coming of the Lord. But why does it say there are 1,290 days? That's a problem for me. But see, I don't have to worry about that problem, because if I was going to be here at the time that the abomination of desolation happens, then I would know 1,260 days later, Jesus is coming back on the second coming, because that's what the scripture says. But I don't want to be here when he sits down in that seat, because I'm going out in the other thing. I'm going up with the rest of you. And I'm going up when Jesus says, come on up here, I'm going with that in the rapture. I'm going with him in the rapture. And I'm not going to be here for that. I'm amazed that you guys don't have any questions. So I don't know what to do with that. At least the ladies in the morning had a couple of questions. Goodness sakes, yes. Thank you. Explaining a little bit more about the angel coming at the in the answer of prayers. I'm not sure how to answer that other than the fact that he said on the first day that it was sent, but there the spiritual warfare that was going on that prevented me from coming. Is that what you're looking for? On when we pray for someone, the answer is there, and angels are sent out to get the answer to us. Yes, according to this, that's what it says. Angels are dispensed when we do pray for someone. When the Lord answers our prayers at the time that we pray, and the answer through angels are dispensed out, and they get the answer to us. Yes, God always answers our prayer. And all the time, spiritual warfare is going on. All the time. All the time. When we continue to pray, I'm just saying this so that people can hear what you're asking. Do we have the impact on where angels being dispensed? That I don't know. I don't know. I can't answer that question on whether or not we have any power to dispense more angels. That would be... We continue to pray. When we first prayed, the angel was sent out to answer that prayer, and the warfare is going on until we see the answer. That sounds very simple, I know, but just keep praying. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Just keep praying. Don't give up. And if God says, you know, you're done praying for that person, which God has on occasion said, then you stop praying for that person, or that situation. He says, I got it handled. That's okay. I don't want you worrying about it anymore. Because sometimes we get so wrapped up in our prayer requests that that's all we're thinking about, is making that thing happen, and we don't have that time with the Lord. Does that make any sense? Okay, good. Okay, and so, list everything that you learned about his activity in your life, and I have learned that he hears us, he hears me, his promises are sure. God's promises are sure. What God said he will do, he will do. What he said he won't do, he won't do. People will let us down. I will let you down. You will let me down. People will let each other down, but God will never let us down. He responds to us, and I know that I can trust him completely. 100%. I can trust the Lord completely. And so what statements impacted you the most from the teachers who taught you us? I took my own sayings. So, and it had to do with when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were facing the fiery furnace. They were not trusting in what God would do, but in who God is. They were not trusting in what God would do, but in who God is. And so we trust in who God is. They didn't even smell like smoke when they came out of it. And I love that Daniel was basked in the glory of the of God all his all night long. So the book of Daniel ends in victory. And Daniel, and for all of us who trust in Daniel's God, the best is yet to be. We talked about that last week. And like I said, these are just a few instances that happened in Daniel's life. He went on day by day. He washed his clothes. He took a bath. He cooked food. He lived a life that was committed to the Lord. Completely and thoroughly committed to the Lord. And because he lived a life of purpose, because he lived a life of prayer, he was able to be moved into the positions, raised up, moved into higher position, put in places so that he could be used by God to minister to the people in those places where nobody else could reach. God is using every single one of us. He's using us in mighty ways, and it's in those everyday things. There are no small things in Christ. It's the small things, the day-to-day living, making decisions to live for Christ moment to moment. It's the small things that no one else knows about that are the great things in God's eyes. The small things in our lives that no one knows about but God and me. Those are the great things to God. Those are the great things. So Daniel was remembered for his commitment to God, his commitment to prayer, his commitment to purpose in his heart to not defile himself. And God used him every day, but some of those days God used him to give us this written account of what God can do in and through a person who is wholly committed to him. And I leave you with 2 Timothy 1:12. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him. I have committed my life to him, and he is able to keep that. He's able to keep that life that has been wholly and completely committed to him. And so I ask you, have you committed your life wholly over to him? I assume that you have, and I'm pretty sure that most of you, all of you have. Because by this time, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, if he hasn't, you're doing it right now, this very second. So it will, you're in this group. Today is the day of salvation. Because eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And with that, we finish the book of Daniel. With that, we finish all those questions, all those things that we wondered about in Daniel, and we'll go over it again, and we'll think about it again, and God will take us. Well, you remember in Daniel it said, da-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, I remember that. Oh, yeah. Well, this is what it means. Oh, okay. Okay, got it now. I understand it now. And that commitment that we have to the Lord, it's going to grow. New things. God is going to do great things in your life. I know that God has done great things in your life today. There is something about today the Lord spoke to me this morning and said that He was going to do a work in every woman's life in a particular way that only ministered to them. So I would encourage you to ask the Lord what that is. What is that one thing? What is it that God has spoken to you? What is it that God's going to do in you? How is He going to use you? And I want to thank you for allowing me to teach you. I thank you for being such wonderful women who are loved by God. I thank you that you have been so attentive, that you are so into God's word, that you love Him more than you love the world itself. Or your life, that you have been faithful to the God who saved you. You will continue to be. You will continue to grow. You will continue to do great things for God. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He is always going to be with you. And no matter what your situation is, God is the God that will take care of you. No matter what you're mourning over right now, I thank you for allowing me to be a part of this Daniel study. And so, Lord Jesus, I thank you, Father, for your ministry tonight, Lord. I thank you that I thank you for your presence. I thank you for the way that you pour out your spirit on us, Lord, and that you speak to us individually in that, even as Elijah or Elisha, whichever one it was that still small voice. It wasn't in the great wind. It wasn't in anything loud, but it was that still small voice that speaks to our heart. I thank you, Lord, that you are working in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. I thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege of praying for our country. I thank you, Father, that you have put us in a place to make a difference through prayer, that you are telling us what we're to do physically, how to vote, how not to, who not to vote for, who to vote for. You will tell us individually, Lord, what you want us to do. But Father, I pray for our governor. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you would bring him to repentance. Lord, we have a governor that is running on a platform of being a place that will make it easy for you to kill your babies. Lord God, forgive us. Lord God, forgive us that we are in that place, that we have someone in who is making that promise, and that's what he thinks will get him elected. Oh, God, forgive us. I pray, God, for this man to be delivered from the things that hold him, Lord, that you would work in his life in a way that no one else obviously can. Lord God, deliver him. Help him to see truth, Lord God, the truth that only you can make him see. And I pray, Lord, that you would forgive us. Forgive us for being lax in our prayer lives. Forgive us, Lord, for being lax in our study of your word. Forgive us for areas that we've just kind of gotten soft to the things of the world. I pray, Father, for your strength to stand in confidence as Daniel stood, to pray as Daniel did, and to walk through it with confidence. Thank you, Lord, as the ladies get into their small groups, I pray that you would bless their time together, anoint their time together, Lord, and just thank you Thank you, God, for what you're doing and what you will continue to do over the summer. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on.